Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. Some Native leaders used words like inappropriate and disrespectful after President Donald Trump brought up the name Pocahontas as an insult this week. It came during an event to honor Navajo code talkers. The reaction on social media is even stronger. But people's efforts to get Trump to stop using the name seems to fall on deaf ears, and the White House continues to defend his actions. We'll get your perspective on all of this right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribes, including the Navajo Nation and environmental groups, are set to take legal action over any changes to Bears Ears National Monument in Utah, which tribes consider sacred. President Trump is expected to travel to Utah next week and announce plans on Bears Ears. Maps obtained this week by news organizations and the Native American Rights Fund show the administration's plan, which tribal leaders and attorneys say will drastically diminish Bears Ears. In a statement, Navajo Nation President Russell Begay said the tribe fought for the creation of the monument, adding any action to diminish Bears Ears will be an action against the tribe and people who work for its protection. The Native American Rights Fund is representing the Hopi, Zuni, and Ute Mountain Ute tribes. Native American Rights Fund attorney Natalie Landreth says the move on Bears Ears and another Utah monument is illegal, saying only Congress can revoke monument protections.
This unprecedented decision, and I don't say that lightly, we mean it. This is not like anything we have ever before seen in any of the other presidential situations, because this is a full-scale revoke and replace. It creates two different monuments with two different names, two different boundaries, and different maps. This is not, no matter what they want to call it, a boundary modification.
Landreth joined the Navajo Nation, New Mexico U.S. Senator Tom Udall, and environmental groups on a press call Friday morning to object to the administration's plans. Attorneys declined to provide details of their lawsuits, saying they're waiting for executive action to take place and will then follow it with legal action. President Obama proclaimed the more than 1 million acres Bears Ears National Monument in 2016. In April, President Trump ordered the Interior Department to review a number of national monuments, including Bears Ears. Tribal leaders and attorneys say the Trump administration's plan to shrink Bears Ears is being done without tribal consultation. A community healing walk is planned Saturday on the Bad River Reservation in Wisconsin for a teenager who was shot and killed by an officer in November. Family, friends, and community members say the walk is to remember Jason Pirro. They say the event is to share Jason's message to show who he was, which they say was a loving, caring boy who was also knowledgeable of his culture. His family and tribe dispute a preliminary investigation into the incident and have asked for a federal investigation. Investigators say Pirro lunged at an Ashland County Sheriff's deputy with a butcher knife before being shot twice. Investigators say a search of the 14-year-old's bedroom showed he was despondent days leading up to the incident. The tribal council believes the deputy used excessive force and says they're taking a stand for justice. Saturday's event will include a youth-led honor song and student message. Organizers say the incident has impacted the entire community, and the event is to help the community come together and heal. A ribbon cutting was held Thursday for a new eatery in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The Laguna Burger Restaurant is a business venture of the Laguna Pueblo. The tribe's main generator of revenue is in the hospitality industry. Skip Sayer is with the Laguna Development Corporation.
We've grown the business tremendously on the Pueblo itself, and now for the first time we're venturing outside of the reservation to expand our business and increase our revenue-generating capabilities for our shareholders, which are the members of the Pueblo.
The new Laguna Burger occupies about 3,000 square feet near Old Town, creates more than two dozen jobs, features an expanded menu of hamburgers, hot dogs, and salads, and a full bar. The tribe already operates 11 restaurants, casinos, and two travel centers on I-40. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista. Support by AARP, creating and connecting you to unique tools and content like Native Origins, incorporating Native American culture with recipes inspired by indigenous foods. More at AARP.org/Native Origins.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. By now, you've most likely heard about U.S. President Donald Trump's comments at a Code Talker event this week at the White House. As a refresher, here's what he said.
And I just want to thank you because you're very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here. Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you because you are special. You are special people. You are really incredible people. And I have to, from the heart, from the absolute heart, we appreciate what you've done, how you've done it, the bravery that you displayed.
Reactions were swift. The Navajo Nation, the National Congress of American Indians, and the Native American Journalists Association are among the many organizations calling the statement inappropriate. The White House Press Corps challenged White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who refused to acknowledge President Trump's use of the word as a slur.
I don't believe that it is appropriate for him to make a racial
a lot of
slur or anybody
this
else.
This is a racial slur, so why is it appropriate for him to?
Well, I think,
like I said,
I don't think that it is, and I don't think that was certainly not the president's intent. I think, again, like I said, I think the more offensive, the most offensive thing.
Racially?
I'm sorry?
Does he see political value in calling people out racially? Why use that?
Look, I think that Senator Warren was very offensive when she lied about something specifically to advance her career.
And we want to know today, what are your thoughts on President Trump and what happened at the White House? Does his repeated use of this term signal anything? And does it make you question this administration's approach to Native nations? What else has bubbled to the surface because of this moment? Give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. And you can also send us your tweets at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us now is Nicole Robertson. She is the Chief Communications Specialist for Masqua Media, and she is a member of the Mathis Colomb Cree Nation. It's our pleasure to have her here with us. Nicole, thank you for being on the line.
Thank you. I'm happy to take the time to discuss this issue, as it's nothing that is new to me with the history, as some of your audience members might know.
And Nicole, and so, we'll get to that. And so I want to go to your reactions on seeing this happen when it was a moment to honor Navajo Code Talkers, honor people in the military, honor Native Americans. What was your reaction when you saw this happen or heard it?
You know, from my experience in meeting Mr. Trump, President Trump, in his when he was running for presidency, I knew that this was nothing new in terms of his character and, I'd say, personality default or his ways of disrespecting our peoples. You know, it's, I look at the fundamental sort of belief system that he has, and looking at what he said about Native Americans in the past, it's nothing new for President Trump to be disrespecting our people in that way, in a very public way, and specifically Native American women. I look at that and think that he's the one that he says people had called her Pocahontas. Well, no, he actually has given her that name. And it's done in such a way that is so just very disrespectful and racist and absolutely appalling.
All right. Thank you for that, Nicole. And folks, we know you have thoughts on this. You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And you can also tweet us your information at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we look forward to weaving you into the conversation. And Nicole, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your experience with this.
My experience was I was working with the MHA Nation, which is the Mandan, Hidatsa, Arikara Nations, down in North Dakota a couple of years ago. And what had occurred in a press conference is I, as a media consultant, was asked to assist the nation in, because of course Trump was the only candidate at the time that wasn't meeting actually with the nation. They had met with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton's camp, and when he was in North Dakota, he just all out, flat out, didn't meet with them. And the tribal leadership was at the conference that this press conference that was taking place. It was at the an oil and gas conference, and so I went into the press conference with a question, that being, would he recognize tribal sovereignty based upon the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples? And he had said, yes, we will look at that. I've been asked that, and thank you. So it didn't really seem like he knew what I was talking about because it was such a short sentence. And then a couple of minutes later, a reporter had asked about Senator Warren, and that's when he had cut off the reporter and said, oh, who? Pocahontas. And in that moment, I was shocked because I hadn't heard him use that term before. And I interrupted the press conference and just said, I find that offensive. And he had looked at me and said, oh, really? I'm sorry. And then he went on to be much more disrespectful. And literally it said, you know, I could be Native American. Look at my cheekbones. And had pulled his face back. So, you know, looking at that in person, I just thought, you know, this person does not have that sensibility as a world leader now, does not have the sort of tact, the integrity, cultural understanding. There's so many, there's a list that I could go on, but I won't, and give your audience members an opportunity to chime in. But I sincerely don't think that he's fit to be, leading a country, and looking at how he treats the original people, the original inhabitants of that great nation, he should, at minimum, have a real respectful dialogue, one that's not based upon his own insecurities about a woman that's in Senate, so or senator. So, anyways, that's essentially what I think.
All right. And today it is about what people are thinking, because we're asking, when you saw this happen and you heard another layer that Nicole has put on, this isn't the first time he's used this in public. What are your thoughts, reactions? All opinions are welcome. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. What do you think about so much weight being put on the word Pocahontas, how it was used in the White House? What do you think? 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go to our first caller. We have Clive in Fort Hall, Idaho, tuned in on KISU. Clive, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Yeah, my comment is I really think natives need to start thinking about their I'm concerned there's a colonized mentality there. I mean, shouldn't these natives, the Navajos, be questioning whether they really can get honor bestowed upon them by President Trump in front of Andrew Jackson, who is a symbol for genocide against indigenous people. I mean, we have a high rate of Native Americans fighting in the military. And I guess, you know, to me, it's like we forgot our history with the United States military. In my own tribe, we were experienced the Bear River Massacre, where like 250 Shoshone people were killed, including men, women, and babies. The chief was stabbed through the head with a heated bayonet and killed. And we fought two wars. My tribe fought two wars, the United States military, and now we have, like, our tribe is a Purple Heart Reservation, and we have these honor ceremonies for vets who are fighting for the U.S. military. And in my opinion, the U.S. military basically serves the 1%, the wealthy elite, to make money. And they're kind of doing the same thing they've done to the people in the United States, but they're doing it overseas now and taking their resources. And so I really question, you know, should we be fighting, you know, for the U.S. considering our history? And also question, you know, maybe it'd be more honorable for vets to protest Trump.
All right, Clive, you know what? Let's turn it to the veterans. Veterans, we know you're listening. What do you think? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we look forward to weaving your call into this as well. Clive, thank you for your call there in Fort Hall, Idaho, tuned in on KISU. And now we are going to talk to somebody who was in the room this week when the words were uttered. Joining us now is Tom Cole. He is one of two Native American members in Congress, and he represents Oklahoma's 4th District in the United States House of Representatives. He is a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation. Welcome back for another hour, Congressman Cole.
It's an honor to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
And Senator or Congressman Cole, you were in the room when this happened, and I just want to get your take. Tell us a little bit about what you witnessed and your reaction.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the ceremony itself was pretty unusual and meant to be, and I think was a tremendous honor to the Code Talkers in the sense that they'd never been honored in the Oval Office by any previous president. You know, we had three really splendid American heroes there, 90, 94, and 97, respectively, that had fought in multiple engagements in the South Pacific and given us, given the American military, a tremendous battlefield advantage in secure communications. So when the president was actually not in the Oval Office when we were initially all ushered in to honor him. There was another member there as well, Jeff Denham from California. And, you know, they were setting everything up, or everything was already set up, but we were there, and the president then came in a little unexpectedly, sort of startled everybody. Press corps was there, room was full. And he immediately went over to the Code Talkers and shook their hands and congratulated them, thanked them for their service, and invited one of them, Peter McDonald, to the microphone to give, you know, whatever opening remarks he cared to give. He gave one of the most impressive speeches I've ever heard in my life, 90 years old, and probably went on 10, 12 minutes. It was an incredibly learned speech about the history of the Navajo Code Talkers, the accounts of the service records of the other two individuals, and then himself there. And he ended up with a really stirring statement. I can't remember it precisely, but it was something like, you know, we're a country, a land of many peoples, many languages, many traditions, and differences of opinion. But when we're attacked, we come together as one. And when we are one, we are invincible. It was an amazing speech. The president looked at him, and he had in his hand a binder of his prepared remarks, and he handed the binder to Mr. McDonald. And he said, everything that I was supposed to say, you've already said. It's in here, but you said it so much better than I ever could. And so in that sense, I think I want to give the president his due. It was it was meant to honor those men, and I think he did so sincerely and meaningfully. Then, you know, he's off script, and he made the Pocahontas remark. And I do disagree with that. I've said that before in print, before the election. Disagree with it on two fundamental levels. First of all, Pocahontas is a very important historical figure. A young woman only lived into her early 20s, was actually buried in England, and was a pretty pivotal figure in helping define the early relationship between Europeans and Native Americans. And she, to me, anytime that name is invoked, it should always be done respectfully and with a recognition of its historical significance. It should not be a punchline. Second, I'm just not a big believer in name-calling in politics. It doesn't get you very far. In my view, we ought to be dialing the rhetoric back in Washington, D.C., and I try to be courteous and respectful to when I refer to people that have a different point of view or are in a different political party than me, because sooner or later you're going to have to work with them. And it's a lot easier to work with people if you haven't started out by being disrespectful to them. So, I certainly agree that's an inappropriate thing to do personally and historically, with respect to the use of that name.
And Congressman Cole, when you think about it, and I was listening to your account being there in the room and seeing this, and if you had stopped before you got to the part talking about using the name Pocahontas, that's kind of how it would have gone down in history. But that's not what happened. And what are your thoughts about something like this taking front seat to the fact that the Navajo Code Talkers as well as veterans are being honored? And something that I am just missing in all these different coverage that I'm seeing, the fact that you had the President of the United States endorsing a museum for Navajo Code Talkers, honoring veterans, those two things is not what everyone is talking about. It's all about the slur. What are your thoughts on this, that this moment is now being turned into this?
Well, I regret that. And, I think it's a mistake. Politicians do misspeak sometimes. And in this case, that's what I would regard it as. I don't think it was meant to be disrespectful of Native Americans in general, but I think it is disrespectful. And so it's something that I wish the President of the United States would refrain from doing. I also, go to work in a city where we've got a professional football team that uses a term that I don't regard as appropriate. I also deal with Democratic members who go to regularly to what are called Jefferson Jackson Day dinners, and two slaveholders, two notorious anti-Indian figures. So, part of this is in the history of the country. You have to recognize it. But, to your larger point, it's disappointing that what was a genuinely moving moment and meant to honor people that are American heroes and, frankly, to honor, in a sense, the outstanding tradition that Native Americans have in serving the American military, got caught up in this. So, I regret that. Not much I can do about it other than publicly disagree when I do disagree. And in this case, the use of Pocahontas is not an appropriate thing to do.
All right. Thank you for that. We're going to go to our phone lines. I know something, since you mentioned, other presidents, a lot of people are reacting to the portrait behind the Code Talkers when this was going on. If that's something you want to share thoughts on, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we know that a lot of issues have come up, even the representation of Native women all being encapsulated with one person, Pocahontas, and the way media has portrayed her story inaccurately. What else came to your mind as this started another dialogue in your community? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and hear now from Maggie in Milan, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Maggie, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Hello, my name is Maggie Billiman. I'm one of the Code Talkers' daughter. My father, his name was Howard Billiman Jr. from Sawmill, Arizona. And I was very disappointed in the President of the United States for all the veterans, the Navajo Code Talker, also the rest of the country veteran. And I felt like President Trump was so disrespectful of the flag, also the president's office, and especially when they had the Andrew Jackson behind the ceremony, which very just kind of devastated me because I figured that's not even an accident for to have the ceremony under that photo behind the co-talkers and the president. So I feel like that was very, very like Andrew Jackson. He his nickname was Indian Killers. You know, I really do felt like I was such a disgraceful thing, you know, for my father to go through war. And I believe that the president of the United States did not serve in the military, so maybe he doesn't know what goes on with the militaries when they're serving and what they went. My father went through during the World War II. You know, it was, and then my father had PTSD, and we us kids have to live with that when we were growing up. And then top it off, we'll help you. You know, how long? You know, we've been waiting for 20 years. My father was forgotten for 20 years out there, especially all the code talkers. And we didn't have no running water or electric for all that when I was growing up. And also had to live with the PTSD, my father. And I felt like it's just disrespectful to the militaries also. And that's, I don't know if you have any questions for me.
And Maggie, it's great to have somebody who has a direct connection to the code talkers and this moment. And so, Maggie, you have the microphone right now. What do you want people to understand about honoring our Native military?
Honoring? Well, to respect the flag and, you know, the president of the United States, you know, for to respect our Native veterans and also that what they've been through. And, you know, how long are they going to be waiting? There's a bunch of them are like homeless all out on the streets, too, also. And now he's saying he's going to help the veteran get off the ground or whatever. So my father and my family's been waiting for so long, you know, and I do appreciate all the veterans all over the country that they did their job and the wonderful thing they did. And I honor them, you know, that I'm glad that they won the war back in the World War II. And I do really honor them to be thankful that they're still, some of them are still around.
All right. Thank you for that, Maggie. Thank you for your call. And folks, we're going to continue to keep these lines open. We have moved our schedule because sometimes news stories are so important. You just got to talk about them. And we've heard a little bit from our representative in Congress. We've heard from a relative of a code talker. We've heard from a journalist who has also taken a look at this. What more needs to be said? I think another big pillar of the conversation is now people are saying that the word or the name Pocahontas used in this way is a racial slur. What are your thoughts on that? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Some people who have pushed back say this is all PC run amok. What do you think? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. You can also tweet your thoughts to us at 1-800-99-NATIVE on Twitter. We look forward to adding you today. We hold our Native elders in high regard, but that doesn't mean they're always protected from abuse. They are sometimes victims of physical assault or financial theft by loved ones. On the next Native America Calling, we'll talk with experts about what some people are doing to help put an end to this serious problem. We hope you'll join us.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, Healthy Active Native Communities. Hank works with communities to implement effective strategies that promote obesity prevention, improved nutrition, and physical activity based on each community's individuality. Information on promising practices, nutrition and fitness programs, and shared successes at hanc.aaip.org. Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians working to improve health and safety policies and programs in K-12 schools with American Indian or Alaska Native enrollment over 50%. The School Health Index Self-Assessment and Planning Guide was developed to enable schools to identify strengths and weaknesses of health and safety policies, develop action plans for improving student and staff health, and engage teachers, parents, students, and the community in promoting health-enhancing behaviors and better health.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we appreciate you being tuned in. Today we are talking about President Trump's comment at an event to honor Navajo code talkers. He referred to Senator Elizabeth Warren using the name Pocahontas. What does it mean when the person holding the highest elected office in the country ignores pleas from Native American leaders and citizens to stop using the term this way? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also want to hear from you. What do you think about calling somebody Pocahontas is being seen as a racial slur? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Many organizations and leaders have put out statements or either posted on social media their thoughts on this, using words like inappropriate. That's the word that Lisa Murkowski used. We've also heard from organizations like the National Congress of American National Congress of American Indians. President Jefferson Keel issued a statement on what happened. He used words, "We regret the president's use of the name Pocahontas as a slur to insult a political adversary is overshadowing the true purpose of today's White House ceremony." Other organizations like the Alaska Federations of Natives also put out a statement saying President Trump's remarks were disrespectful to the honoring of our veteran service. And there are more. If there's anything you'd like to share, give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And right now, we're going to welcome in Michael Smith. He is a descendant of Navajo code talker Samuel Jesse Smith Sr., and Michael is Navajo and Acoma Pueblo. It's our pleasure to welcome him in. Michael, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tara.
And Michael, I want to go to your reactions. You grew up, you knew your father as a proud code talker. You were among many of his peers who are also code talkers. And you're very close to this and what it means to recognize the mission and the service that our code talkers gave to the United States. What were you thinking when you saw what happened this week?
I had a lot of mixed feelings about the statement that Trump made. However, I was really excited to see the Navajo code talkers honored in the White House. I'm not sure like what they were exactly being honored for, except to be recognized. I really do appreciate Peter McDonald's overview of the men and the Navajo code talkers and their mission in World War II. However, and I do really appreciate General Kelly coming in and explaining to the president what the Navajo code talkers did in World War II and the Pacific Theater and the statements that he made. I really do appreciate what the general said. I don't think that the president actually is aware of the Navajo code talkers and what the significant role was in World War II. And for the, you know, just giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's somewhat ignorant in United States history, that's as much weight as that I could give to his comment.
And Michael, does any of that come with, and he made the comment, I'm glad you brought up Iwo Jima. And if you know about code talkers, you would not be surprised that that came up. Is that some of what you're basing this on?
About Iwo Jima?
No, just
or
that,
about general.
What you're saying about you're questioning how much he knows about code talkers and what they brought forward. I'm wondering where your thoughts are on that or where that's coming from.
I think that in the whole ceremony and basically a lot about what goes on in the United States and the policies of the United States, I think that Trump really has self-interest in the decisions that he makes. And so those are limited to what he knows. And in my opinion, he doesn't really know a lot about the Navajo Code Talkers and about their significant role in World War II and the Pacific Theater.
And Michael, any thoughts on how the Code Talkers in the White House reacted? I mean, this very well could have gone a whole other way. They could have used it as a moment to lecture, to call the president out. But they stood there, they didn't react, and they kept moving forward. Any thoughts on that?
I think that they showed a lot of dignity and pride. And I think that although you don't, if you don't respect the president, you can still respect the office of the president. And I think that's where, as Marines, you're not taught to, when you go through boot camp, you're not taught to make policy, but you're there to honor or to enforce the decisions of the commander-in-chief and Congress. And so from coming from a Marine, you don't always agree with what the president is saying, but you respect the office and you respect him as your commander-in-chief. That would be my perspective.
All right. We appreciate you sharing. And the phone lines are open if you want to give us a ring, 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're going to take some calls. We're going to say hello to Kent in Spokane, Washington, listening on KSFC. Kent, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I was going to call kind of in reaction to the congressman guest that you had on. He had mentioned that in his discourse that he felt like it was an inappropriate thing to say, but he kind of characterized it as a misstatement. You know, the guy had made a mistake. Kind of inadvertent, and I found that to be honestly not very credible, because as your other guest pointed out, he'd used it before. As you've also pointed out, he'd many Native Americans and organizations have said that it was an insult, and yet he nor his spokesperson has apologized. And if it was an inadvertent slight, just a misstatement on his part, I'm not immune from doing that. And when I make a misstatement and I've offended somebody, I think most people say, golly, I'm really sorry if I'm sorry, if I did it by mistake. And he hasn't done that. Plus, if you look at his history, whether it's Mexican-American, Latinos, Puerto Ricans, black football players, it seems like he has a habit of making subtly racial and ethnic ethically inappropriate comments, and I think it's I think it's who he is.
All right, Ken, thank you for your call. And 1-800-99-NATIVE is how you can get into the conversation. That's also where you tweet your comments. I want to go back and welcome our representative. We have Congressman Cole on the line with us today. He represents Oklahoma's 4th District in the United States House of Representatives. He's a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation. Tom Cole, Congressman Cole, thank you for being with us.
Oh, again, thank you for having me.
And is there anything you want to share with our caller?
Well, first of all, he mentioned that I didn't apologize. I'm not going to apologize for something I didn't say. And I've never used that reference, Pocahontas, in that way. And frankly, I've condemned it repeatedly. So in that sense, I don't think I need to apologize. I was happy to make my position clear, which is at odds with the president's. In terms of deeper question, is this an appropriate use of language? I don't think it is. And I've said that, but obviously, again, I point out I'm not a big fan of Jefferson Jackson dinners either, which Democrats have. I'm not a big fan of the Washington football franchise name. And some people disagree on issues like this. I think in this case, I'm not going to try and defend the use of a remark that I don't agree with. But I am going to say I was probably, my thinking was more in line with Michael's thinking, the caller before, in that I think the effort to honor the Navajo code talkers was real and sincere. I think they did show incredible dignity and poise during the ceremony, and I think their remarks and the way they handled themselves probably sets the standard for the way I wish all Americans handled themselves. Michael also made the point, which I agree with, that this is probably not an area of history that the president knows a great deal about. Sadly, most Americans don't know a great deal about some of these things. They were frankly kept secret for 20 years, but the society as a whole was slow to catch on. We had recently, two or three years ago, a ceremony honoring all code talkers. The Navajos, of course, are the most famous, but 33 tribes in both world wars had members who served in that capacity for the United States. And in the First World War, some of them weren't even yet fully American citizens, didn't have the right to vote until 1924. So, and again, most Americans don't know that Native Americans enlist at a higher rate than any other group. I thanked all three of those gentlemen because, in a sense, my uncle that I'm named after was a Chickasaw, and he was sitting in a Japanese prison camp. He was a Bataan Death March survivor. My dad was a career military guy. My brother, who's Native, was also in the United States military. So that's an amazing tradition.
And Congressman Cole, sure, we know that our roots run really deep. And something that came up as you were talking, a lot of this is around this word Pocahontas. And the first time it was uttered in this way by the president, people reacted. They responded. There was a call. Stop using that. We just heard from, or earlier in the hour, we heard from a Native American journalist who did it in a press conference. I want to share something that I came across when I was getting ready for this program. And this happened in 2016, where President Trump was challenging Elizabeth Warren's Native American heritage. And in it, he put out this quote. He says, "Her whole career is a fraud because she goes out and says she's a Native American. I won't use the word Indian because they say it's not a nice word to use. So I will not say Indian." So here we have an example of he's using Native Americans don't want to be called Indian. I'm not going to use it. But Native Americans are also saying, quit using Pocahontas this way, and he's still doing it. What do you think of that?
Well, as I told you, I find it objectionable. I wish he did not do it. I wish we didn't have a professional football team that had a name that I don't think is appropriate. You know, I wish a lot of things. But I think you do the best to make people aware. I think, in that sense, that's the good part of the controversy, because it does catch a lot of controversy. It does cause a lot of things. So, again, my hope would be that he learns to avoid that term in the future. If you want to disagree with Senator Warren, believe me, they're on different ends of the political spectrum. They have a lot they can disagree about. But it ought to always be done respectfully, and you ought to avoid personal pejorative terms. I see people doing it a lot. I saw a lot of that directed against President Bush. I've seen a lot of it directed against President Obama. I don't see either side, frankly, is very pure in this. But more to the point, each side has people that engage in this kind of rhetoric and no kind of tactics. I regret that. I think it's a mistake, and I think it cheapens the national dialogue. So I try to avoid it myself, and I wish others would do the same.
Thank you for that. And we're going to take phone calls now. We're going to say hello to Sandra in Jemez Springs, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Sandra, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Hello, Tara. It's great to be on your program. What the Congressman Cold just said previous, that's why it was so disrespectful on all levels. The code talkers have contributed an enormous amount to the United States of America, first to be persecuted for their language, and then to win the war for the United States of America. In my view, this president is totally mentally inept to hold the office, and he continues to disrespect a lot of people, you know, especially women, minorities, handicaps. And I really question his mental ability to hold the office anymore. And as far as Pocahontas goes, it's just a huge example of his uneducated mind. He has no clue of the history of the United States. He is just totally clueless of the history of the United States.
And Sandra, and the point that you make about women, too, has also come up. And even just hearing reports this week in National Native News, they had a moment to sit down with a representative talking about this. And, you know, we have different folks who are also making comments on this. And so I'm wondering, is anybody else thinking about this? National Native News talked to Amber Kanizba Crotty, an advocate and a Navajo Nation lawmaker. She was very forward in saying that this is a threat to Native women and thinking of us as a monolithic thing. Any Native woman equals Pocahontas. Folks, if there's anything you want to say on that, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Sandra, thank you for your call. We're going to go ahead and say hello now to Greg in the East Mountains in New Mexico, listening on KUNM. Greg, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Good morning. Just wanted to share a few thoughts I've had since this story came out, and thank you so much for providing a forum for us. It's my thought that the speaker, any speaker, never gets to decide what is derogatory or what is a slur. It's always up to the receiver. If it's taken in a derogatory fashion, it is. And I'm not Native American, but I can understand the feelings on it. If it's taken as a slur, it is a slur regardless of the intent. And just to add something to that, to put it into a different context, I'm neither Native American nor African American, but put it in the context of speaking to a room full of African Americans and calling someone Kunta Kinte. I think that just says it all. It cannot ever be meant as an act of kindness. It's means of stereotyping.
All right. Thank you for weighing in. Again, you can join us 1-800-996-2848. Is the number. We're going to go ahead and take another call here. Let's go ahead and say hello to Judith in South Fork, Colorado. Thank you for calling, Judith. You're on air.
Hi, thank you. I would like to just say that senators or congressmen should be addressed in that manner. And for example, you're not calling Congressman Cole Geronimo. I would also like to say that President Trump, by doing what he did to the code talkers, putting them in front of Andrew Jackson, the whole nine yards, he is continuing his violence and oppression against women, against Native American people, against any poor person, against anyone that is less than what he considers less than. And Congressman Cole has a huge issue. The Republican Party has a huge issue because they have been allowing this to continue on for years in their violence and oppression against women, against health care for women. Their debates about whether women should have birth control or not. They want to control them. They want to tell them they can't have an abortion or whatever. They want to get in all the business of women. They want to keep the poor poorer by taking away their Medicare and Medicaid and health social programs.
And they have been leading this way, and they have been ripening the way for a leader like him. Now they have to deal with it. And it's good that they're in, because he's in their party, because they should take him out. And if Congressman Cole really feels the way he feels and so offended, he should be the person that would be the leader to do such a thing. I would love to see that happen from him.
All right, Judith, thank you for your call there in Colorado. I got one more voice to weave in. We're going to go now to Tom Udall. He's a senator for New Mexico and vice chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. It's our pleasure to welcome him in. Senator Udall, thank you for being with us as well. And we are short on time, but I definitely want to give you a moment. You released a statement, your thoughts on this, but you're here live with us. Anything you want to share?
You bet, Tara. The Native American Code Talkers are one of the finest examples we have to show that our nation is made stronger by its diversity. And I wish the president understood that. By the president's racist and offensive comments and remarks, that in no way takes anything away from the incredible contributions of the Code Talkers. And I think the president should really study history. I think he should apologize. I think the Native American Code Talkers are true war heroes whose patriotism during World War II helped defeat oppression and hatred. The Code Talkers gave back to their country by sharing their language, even though their nation often denied them basic civil rights. The heroism and patriotism of Native American Code Talkers is a reflection of the proud history of service of tribal members across the country. Theirs is a great story of courage, of love of country, and of tremendous sacrifice. The Code Talkers helped the Marines capture Iwo Jima, played a crucial role in the American victory in the Pacific, and saved untold numbers of Allied soldiers and others. And the president demeaned the contributions of the Code Talkers by using their honor ceremony to make a political attack. It's even more offensive and tone deaf that the president made his comment during Native American Heritage Month, and the president made those comments against the backdrop of Andrew Jackson's portrait. I'm sad about how low President Trump has sunk. The days when the President of the United States was held as a moral authority around the world ended 11 months ago.
Thank you for that. And Senator Udall, some people are using the hashtag teachable moment. What should be taught? How do we move forward? And especially moving forward by making Native voices heard in decision making and all kinds of stuff. Go ahead. Final comment.
You bet. The wonderful thing is what you're doing on this program, Tara. It's letting people speak after they hear such an offensive racist comment. And what we need to do is call out a racist comment for what it is, call for an apology, engage, organize, and all of us need to work with each other to make sure we're much better than these kinds of comments. I mean, I just love the visits I have in New Mexico to my 23 tribes. We share so much in common, and we work on so many different issues, and this isn't going to hurt us at all in terms of moving forward in a constructive way.
Kind. And Senator Udall, thank you for that. And I also want to give Congressman Cole a moment, too. Any final thoughts? Go ahead.
To follow my good friend Senator Udall, a person that I served with in the House and continue to work with and quite frankly admire a great deal. I do want to address one comment that was made about not working on behalf of women. I played a pretty key role in the passage of the Violence Against Women Act and have prided myself on working in those areas. But again, I think the point of the ceremony was to honor the Navajo Code Talkers. I think that was done. And I think having that ceremony in the Oval Office was significant. I think the president deserves credit for that. I do think he also deserves the criticism for the use of the term Pocahontas. That's just simply inappropriate, never acceptable. And I think the unanimity of opinion about that is something he ought to take into account going forward.
All right. Thank you for that. And Congressman Cole, and something that just taking a look and canvassing what people are saying about this, some of the people who felt what the president did is fine are bringing up the issue of Elizabeth Warren and questioning her identity. Others are saying, hey, it's just him being him. You knew who he was when he ran, when he was campaigning. It's just him. Some people are downright saying, I thought it was funny. Anything you want to say to some of that pushback?
Well, that's inappropriate. You know, it's not funny. It's not an appropriate thing to say or do. And I think it ought to be condemned when people resort to that. Frankly, I saw a lot of rhetoric directed, again, on both sides. The idea that this is somehow one-sided isn't true. I've seen people use language with respect to the president that I think would be disrespectful directed toward any president. Again, I would think maybe the teachable message is we all ought to learn something from this and dial back the rhetoric, treat people with the respect and the courtesy they deserve, even when you disagree with them. And frankly, if you got a disagreement with somebody politically, keep it on the issues. Keep it away from personalities, and certainly keep it away from any sort of racial stereotype. That's just never an appropriate way to proceed in a country, well, in any country, but in a country of such great diversity as the United States.
All right. Thank you for that. And gaining more knowledge, well, we can help with that, too. I want to let folks know we did a full hour about the life of Pocahontas, bringing forward her true story. If that's something you also want to follow up on, go to our archives, type in her name, and you'll be able to hear that. That's going to do it for our program today. Thanks to everybody who participated. I know we got a lot of calls we couldn't weave in. Go ahead and post your comments directly online, NativeAmericaCalling.com. And thanks again to Congressman Tom Cole, Nicole Robertson, Michael Smith, and Senator Tom Udall for also adding their thoughts to this hour. Folks, we are back again on Monday with a show about elder abuse. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Senior producer is Monica Brain. Associate producer is Andy Murphy. Marino Spencer is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood. Thank you for spending another week with us.
Paka, damakamang youth aknicht lachtut, ayagyot ang ayaw kamang insurance sa gani widay ngout ashagungnat kamagunan yuinak akavinlog nagchipluku. Kasu ismag nagpika magnag imigiluteng. Ilautsak kak iking kawkwivik 15 agnat kanun. Kaya gawkluku 1-800-318-2596 kasu bakluku go.cms.gov/nativehealth. Una, kingunang kaktok Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, working to empower K-12 schools to strengthen health and safety policies through the School Health Index self-assessment. Schools with 50% or more American Indian or Alaska Native student enrollment are eligible to participate and receive funding. Information available by emailing Jamie McDaniel at jmcdaniel@aaip.org.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.